Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Bitchin' Brainstorm podcast. I'm your host, Elaine the Brain Terso, and we have a new person here with us who is, we are going to help her get unstuck. She is really, really stuck right now. So, to Kaselyn, please tell us more about yourself. Who are you? What do you do? What, tell us about your business.
Hi, my name is Takeeslyn Gardner. I'm 25 years old, and my business is His and Her Dream Collection. I started my business when I was 16. No, I started my business when I was 14. I opened my first e-commerce store when I was 16 years old on Shopify. Things was going very, very great with my business. However, when the coronavirus came, everything went tumbling downhill. I'm originally from Mississippi. I moved to Houston, Texas, all by myself alone. And when I came to Houston, Texas, at the beginning of the coronavirus, things was perfect. But then, you know, eventually when you don't have a foundation, it comes tumbling down. So that's why it's so important when building a business, you make sure you have a foundation. So when things do go wrong, you can always go back to that blueprint. So that's about me and my business. And yeah, I'm just looking to figure out how to get unstuck. I've been stuck for 2 years, and I have been struggling not only with my business, but being depressed and, you know, gaining bad habits and just putting myself in this bad state of mind, all because I know that I can do better, but I just feel stagnant because of my mistakes and just having that guilty feeling like, wow, I really messed up. And trying to overcome that.
Okay, so the first question I have for you is, can you tell me more about the products that you sell? What are the products that you're interested in?
So the products that I sell, when I first started His and Her Dream Collection, I started off selling her bundles. And then I transitioned over to selling onesies and like all female go-to things. And then it was actually called Her Dream Collection at the beginning, but it transitioned over to His and Her Dream Collection back in 2016, where I was selling everything. Like whatever product was trending on social media, we was adding it. And my goal was to be Amazon. I was thinking so big. However, my graphic designer that I had was like, hey, I think you should start focusing on selling one product. And I really hate I listen to her like now, but she was like, I really think you should start selling just one product, which is our top selling product, which was the custom name necklaces. And so that's where the business lies today. It's a custom jewelry brand. We sell custom necklaces, custom keychains, custom earrings. We sell all things custom.
Okay. And are you making the items?
No. So we have a vendor out in China. We don't do drop shipping. The vendor actually made the product and then it gets shipped to us and we package it up ourselves.
Okay. So how long does it take for people to get their product?
Good question. So it takes about 3 weeks for people to get their products. So what we do is we have a holding stage, which means that we send in orders every Monday. So people who order from Monday to that Sunday, the cycle closed. So cycle closed at 11:59 on Sunday, and then Monday morning, we send in the orders. So that's a week. And then the vendor takes about a week and then us to, you know, package it up and get it shipped out, get done in a week. So I say about 3 weeks.
Okay. And how do your customers respond to that?
So what we do, well, what I do is, I'm sorry, I said we a lot, but I'm actually a one man show,
That's okay.
Eventually I will. Okay. So what, I do is, wait, what was the question? I'm sorry.
How do your customers respond to the turnaround time?
They actually do good turnaround time, because I have this tactic to where we updating them. And so if you order something within a week and then we follow up with you, it's kind of like in your head, you like, oh, my package coming. And then it's like another week come by, then we send you your shipping confirmation. So it's like sometimes they don't even, you know, really realize that it took that long because of the communication. And we also on our website have a tracking thing where they can put in their email and order number and it'll tell them what stage their order is in.
Oh, good. Okay. So how do you feel? Do you feel like, so let me rephrase my question. What are, or have you ever figured out what your values are for your company?
No, I
Like
haven't.
what's super important to you as a business owner, serving a customer base? What things are really super important to you? Is it quality? Is it fast turnaround? Is it, I want them to 100% love everything that they get? Is it like one of my values is kindness? No matter what, I will be kind, even if they don't deserve it. Right? What about you? What's like super important to you?
What's super important to me when it comes to my business is building a community.
Okay.
And why I say that is the reason why my business was able to make over $500,000 in 2020 was 2020, yes. The reason why my business was able to make over $500,000 in 2020 was simply because I built a community of affiliates. And this was before 2020, this was before the coronavirus, this was before affiliate marketing became a big thing. And so when I built that community of affiliates, the business was going crazy, because with the affiliate program, I made them feel like they was actually a part of the brand, like they were the CEO of the brand.
Okay, so how do you facilitate community right now in your business? Is there anything that you do?
Right now, community, no. We do not do the affiliate program no more, unfortunately. But I have so many plans and so many goals. And as I mentioned in the email I sent you, I don't know how to put those things into action. So, for example, when we talk about community, some things that I want to do is I want to do the affiliate program. I want to do fundraising. I don't know if you heard of Double Good Popcorn, but they pretty much go to different schools or different events or different camps or different teams, and people sell their popcorn to help them raise money. And that's something I want to do with my product, because I think our product is custom, and it can be custom. Like if you got your favorite NFL team, favorite NBA team, or favorite dance team, whatever, or if you have your own high school team or whatever, I feel like we could help team raise money by selling our quality products to people at an affordable price and give the people, 100% of the profits. But we get in return, we get new customers, we get branding we get our brand out there, brand exposure.
Okay.
So that's my goal when it comes to building the brand, is to build the community, build the people, and give back. Because when you do that, and you put money in other people's pocket, that's when the money starts generating.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm on your website, which is hisandherdreamcollection.us. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So can I give you a first impression?
Yes.
So I love that you have the products super easy to find. Like they're really right there. What makes me go, I don't know that I would buy this, is because it's a dollar.
Yes. So the dollar is a marketing tactic, right? So it's a marketing tactic. I'm an accounting major, right? So I'm an accountant. It's a marketing tactic to where we sell our products for a dollar to reel you in. And then once you get the product, you'll come back and buy. So only the first one is a dollar. Once you try to add two, three, four, five to the cart, it's regular price. But people, if we have so many necklaces on our website, it's hard to choose just one. So people always end up buying two, three, four, or five necklaces.
So because to me, if it was a dollar, I would think, why is it so cheap? Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And if you want to be in the space of fundraising, you have to raise your prices.
Yes.
Okay.
I agree.
Because in order for your business to grow and be sustainable and be able to put food on the table, you're going to have to raise your prices. Because although it's $10, like here's the deal. Do you remember that paparazzi jewelry that was $5?
Yes.
Do you remember that company? Mm-hmm. And it was cheaply made, and it was I mean, in order for those women that were selling it to make any money, I mean, you're making, you think about what is 30% off of $5. It is not a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order for anyone to really make any money off of being an affiliate for you, you have to raise your prices, because otherwise, is it worth it for them to get $2 for each necklace that you are selling? And then looking at, so if they're taking $2 away from you, I mean, when you look at your return on investment and how much, like what you're coming in and what's going out, you're probably breaking even. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes. So the reason why the necklaces are a dollar right now, because in 2020, right, that's when we made $500,000 in 1 year. Mm-hmm. In 2021, I had my warehouse. I had a 5,000 square foot warehouse. I had 3,000 affiliates selling the products. And I had, I think, 20 employees, right? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought my phone went out. And I had 20 employees. So I lost my train of thought. Oh, so why they are a dollar. Okay, mm-hmm. So in 2021, when the coronavirus came, the vendor messed up a lot of orders. I messed up a lot of orders. The employees messed up a lot of orders because everything was behind. Mm-hmm. We didn't have no system. So a lot of people did not get their products. Mm. A lot of people didn't get their products, right? I couldn't even tell you who didn't get their products because we didn't have a system that was prepared to take these losses. So yeah. When the coronavirus happened in 2020, right, we sent the vendor all the money for the orders, but they got locked down. It was nothing that they could do, right? Yeah. But yeah. In the United States, we never heard of no coronavirus. So when the vendor told me about it, I didn't believe it. I was like,
you're like, you're lying.
Like, yes, that's literally how it was, like a virus.
You're lying.
When I started to do my research, I'm like, why is it really a virus? And in China, they was taking the virus serious. Like, they couldn't even come out their door unless they was authorized to, right? And so when I did my research and then I sent it out to my customers like, you're lying. I want a refund. But I couldn't get them a refund because the money was already sent for the production for China. And it ended up happening for like 4 or 5 months. And at this point, I'm going into a depression. I got to pay for my warehouse. Mm-hmm. People start to be in chargebacks. Shopify done put my account on hold because people start being chargebacks. And, you know, it's looking fraudulent because we sell custom items. It already take 2 weeks to make. So imagine the 2 weeks plus on top of all this stuff going on. So then when China started back working, guess what? The coronavirus came to the United States. Now the United States shut down. So China's sending stuff and stuff being in customs for months because the United States is shut down. Mm-hmm. And so in the midst of all this stuff going on, things just got lost and stuff just got messed up. And then the accounting books wasn't getting kept up with. It was just a whole bunch of downfalls. And honestly, I still haven't recovered from that because for a long time, I was stuck, you know? Yeah. I had to let my warehouse go, had to let employees go, had to stop doing the affiliate program because my affiliates are getting bashed too because they are part of the brand.
Yeah.
So they're getting called a scam. They're getting called all this. And I just went into a deep depression because I literally did not know what to do. And still to today, I'm still traumatized, you know? And I'm just trying to figure out how to get unstuck. And okay. I just don't know.
Okay. So kind of what I hear is a lot of fear. So mm-hmm. What happens is when we are kind of stuck in this fear is that we take no action because we're worried that something is going to happen. So we take no action, we do nothing. And was your website the same? Like, did you rebrand it all or have you kept it all the same and just tried to recover?
So the website, the logo and everything is the same, but the website is more professional than what it was back then. So I did have a professional photo shoot and all those things. And when I relaunched, it's like To be honest, the same. It's like every time we lunch, the same thing happens. Shopify putting the account on hold and all these things happening. And I don't know.
Why do they put it on hold? Because you're getting so many orders?
Because the LLC. Oh, if I was to tell you about all this stuff, it's like we were
talking. It's okay. You can tell me all the things. It's okay.
So the LLC that we had, right? We have five loans attached to that, and one of the loans was Shopify. But since Shopify shut the first store down due to not shipping orders out in time, I opened up another store, and the same thing happened. Then the other company, one of the companies that we took a loan out from, put a UCC filing against my business and my social security number. So that means any money that I'm generating, any money that I make through any type of channel, like I can't use Cash App, Venmo, PayPal, I can't use anything because anything that I make is getting collected to go to the companies that I owe money to.
Oh.
So I have a lot of things going on and I'm just trying to figure out what to do. And the advice that I've been getting is not advice on how to move forward. It's advice on how to keep me stagnant or make me go behind. And what I mean by that is I'm honestly just looking for advice to tell me how to start my affiliate, how to start by doing the things that worked.
Yeah.
If it worked before, it can work again, 100%.
Right. Yeah.
But the advice I hear is stuff like you need to see a lawyer. I don't think that I need to see a lawyer because let me tell you why. The only thing I have to do is pay these people off. That's the only thing I have to do. And I don't even have to pay them off all at one time. I can come up with a payment plan to pay them off. But first, that is not order of importance. Order of importance is to figure out how to make customers happy and how to generate sales so we can then use the money and the revenue to pay off the loans to get back in good standings. But I have to understand that sometimes, you know, when getting advice for some people, you got to make sure that they understand the numbers, understand the sales, understand the marketing, because I think it's possible. I don't think the business is dead. I just need to figure out how to push it back out.
Yeah. So the thing to push it back out is you. And right now you're in your own way. Honestly, right? We've all been there. Okay. We've all been there. And I like to call it, we got to get unfucked. We got to get out of our own damn way. And then we can get shit done. But the first part of that is we have to decide. That's all you have to do is just decide. We're going to relaunch, right? We're going to do some sort of campaign, something in order to get your mojo back. Because it sounds like because of all of the negative stuff that's happened, you've lost your mojo.
Yes, I agree.
Right? You've lost your mojo. And what I would encourage you to do is to figure out what motivates you. What is the thing that gets you fired up? What was the thing before that kept your mojo going? Because when we start having success in our life and our business, do you ever notice that you keep getting more of that? Because your vibration is up and your energy is positive and you're like, yes, like you just need that one person, that one sale to come through for you to at maybe a higher price tag, right? So that not only can you pay people back, but you can also recoup your losses and still be able to make a profit. And so instead of having a $1 on them, I would maybe say like, buy five, get one for $1. Or do you know what I'm saying? Like instead of having the minimum starting price, because when you click on it, then it changes to $10. And I'm like, oh, like what did I do wrong? So instead, because that causes confusion. Have you ever gotten messages from people saying it says it's $1, but then when I click on it, it's 10?
No, we haven't got that message, but we have gotten I'm trying to add five next to my cart, but only one is $1.
Yeah. So anytime there's confusion, right? You may get abandoned carts because people are like, oh, it's not working. So I'm out, right? Distracted, new shiny object in my way. So abandoned carts, I wonder how many abandoned carts you have sitting there because they're confused or they don't understand. So instead of that, I would maybe kind of change it around to be like, buy this many and get one for $1. right? So that way, and it's more like a bonus versus a starting point versus like that trickery. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I understand completely why you did it. I'm not mad about it, but I can see where there might be confusion. Like as I was looking as a potential customer, like going, oh, it says it's a dollar, but then, which makes me think that it's really cheap. And then I'm like, I don't know that I want to buy something really cheap. And then when I click on it, it goes to $10. And so then I'm like, wait a second. It said it was a dollar, right? So anytime there's confusion, we got to prevent the confusion. Okay.
Right.
No, go for it.
Okay. So this was my marketing tactic with the $1 negative sale. We have to generate new customers and we have to gain trust again. And we just have so much rebuilding to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
When people come on our website and they see the necklace for a dollar, here's the ideal. The price reels them in. And I actually got this idea from God is Dope. I don't know if you heard of that company. And I think World and Vision have did it as well. You bring the customers in at the low price. And then like I said, we have so many different necklaces. So if someone come on the site and the necklace is $1, then they see 10 different ones that they want. It's hard to choose from. And then it's like the other two or three is regular price. And then the sales funnel is once they check out, once they receive the order, we reach out to them, say, hey, can you leave a review? If you leave a review, we'll give you X, Y, and Z. Because we need those reviews now. So next year, once we do relaunch and once we get everything going, once we get those customers, we can go up to $20 a necklace because we have that social proof that our products is good or people wear our products and we got actual customers, you know, to see. And me, I value community. I value customers. So I care about a profit, but if our profit, I would rather make $100 with 10 customers than $100 with one.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Okay. Okay. So quality over quantity. Love it. Respect it. I'm here for it. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about community.
Okay.
So I think, how can you build community around jewelry is the question.
Yes.
Right? Do you ever think about having, like, not necessarily doing direct sales, but, you know, those direct sales companies have parties and where you have somebody hosting a party and they've got jewelry, they collect orders and they're building community at those parties.
Yes. My ultimate goal when it comes to building community is, for example, this is another marketing strategy that I want to do. It's two. One of them, I want to do scholarships. So let me explain. I want to get affiliates, but I won't call them affiliates, of course. I would call them maybe student partners or something real good as marketing. I want to get students to advertise our brand at different schools. And every product that they sell, we get on scholarship money in return. Even though it would be cash money that go to your bank account, we calling it scholarship as the marketing because it's like, if you're a college student, you become a His and Her Dream Collection student partner, you will make 50%, we won't call it 50% profit, but we'll give you a scholarship money for every, you know, product that you sell. And you're selling products that the students want. So if you go to like LSU, like we would have a necklace that say LSU or Go Tigers, you know, something that's related to where that student is at. And of course the custom necklaces, you know, and get them a marketing strategy. And then when they have events at school, they set up at school and all those things like that. So that's my plan with building community. I want his and her dream collection to be everywhere.
Okay. So have you ever seen the movie The Boss with Melissa McCartney?
No, I haven't seen it.
Okay. So it's the chick, it's oh my gosh, Melissa McCarthy, and then she was like a big like mogul tycoon lady. She wound up going to prison for like selling stocks or whatever. She gets out and she decides to basically start selling brownies with like a Girl Scout troop, but it's like they call it something else. And it was like a competitor to Girl Scouts. Okay. And what they were doing was advertising that you're getting money to go into a scholarship program. So it's right. So it'd be really interesting if you watch that movie and see if there's something in there that helps you kind of figure out how you could do that, because they were talking about like for every box of cookies that they sell, they put $1 or $2 into a scholarship fund. Right. So there was that kind of like business model. And so I think though, for that, I would say you would definitely want to consult a lawyer in order to get, you know, legal agreements put together. Just like any of those companies that, you know, have people sign up to be a marketer, direct sales marketer, affiliate marketer, whatever, you got to have an agreement in place so that there's no confusion around what is going to happen, how this is going to work. So I would say in order to start that, definitely contact a lawyer for that. But I think it's a great idea. And I think that it could give you maybe that boost that you're looking for. I think you have a great product. And I love the customization and all of the different fonts and everything that it can provide. And I think, you know, one of the things that you said was, I want to go back to what works. So do you like taking COVID out, right? Because we're no longer in COVID times. But what were some of the things that you did to market your business where you were able to generate $500,000 in revenue? What are some of the things that you were doing before?
The affiliate program was definitely one.
Okay.
As I mentioned, I treat the affiliate program so good. I sent certificates out. We had ranking contests. So people was, and I made people feel like it was their brand, you know.
Yeah.
They having their own link. They had their back office to see their sales and all those things. And they had the customer contact information where they could send a thank you email. Mm-hmm. Like, I really made it an experience. And since I made that experience, everyone wanted to be a part of it. And then they would tell their friends, and it would just kept growing, kept growing, kept growing. And eventually, it did end up growing way bigger, bigger than me. So that was one thing that worked. The second thing is social media. I was posting on social media, showing, you know, the warehouse and showing packaging orders. So that worked. And honestly, those was the two main things that worked. And today, it's so many more opportunities, because then it wasn't nothing but Instagram and Facebook had a little dying moment back then, but Instagram was like the main thing. But now it's like Instagram is going good, Twitter, TikTok, you know. So
do you have a TikTok shop set up?
No, I don't have a TikTok shop set up right now.
Okay. I think that would be a huge marketing platform for you. I have bought so much stuff off of TikTok shop, girl. I'm about to be broke. Like, for real. There's so much cool stuff, right? So I've gotten all kinds of really cool stuff from TikTok shop. So that could be a really great place for you as well. And so what would it take for you to bring back that affiliate program?
Good question. I think about it all the time. I'm literally so traumatized of making the wrong mistakes again. Like, I really wish I could explain to you the process of failing, I was devastated, you know, seeing all these comments on social media, especially about stuff that I could not control. I could not control any of the stuff that was going on. But it's like at the same time, I could have did better how I responded to it. I went into a deep depression. I just gave up. And, you know, I had to realize that I didn't just give up on me. I gave up on my affiliates. I gave up on my customers. And my employees, like, I just gave up on so many people, and I regret it. But to bring my affiliate program back today, it would simply be just doing it. But I'm just so scared, and I'm trying to have it all perfect. But it's like, just start from the beginning, like you did the first time, and just fix it over time.
Yeah. So what if we take perfect off the table?
What if we take perfect off the table? I'm with you on that. But it's... I'll keep saying, but this, I'm just speaking from like my real feelings right now.
So
I want to take perfect off the table. I do.
Okay.
And it's like, how do we convince ourselves to say it's okay?
Yeah.
Just go for it.
Yeah. It's okay to be human. It's okay to make mistakes. And I think if I were in your shoes, I think this is what I would do. I would be really vulnerable, and I would reach out to the people that were involved before, and I would say, I'm really sorry. What happened should not have happened. I've learned from my mistakes. And here's the thing. This is something that I was talking with another gal that was on. I had a conversation with, she had to start over with a brand new company in the same industry, but could not reach out to any of her previous customers. Like she had an agreement that she signed that said she couldn't. And I told her, you've done this before. You've started at zero before. Now that you know what you know, you can go into this starting fresh at zero with knowledge of what worked and what didn't work last time. So somebody who's starting at zero, you have an advantage over them because you've been there. You know what worked, you know what didn't work, you know where things went wrong. And now you have the opportunity to try again with new policies, with new strategies, with new processes, with new everything, so that you're able to prevent what happened before to not happen again. And so it's, how do we prevent that from happening again? Where was the bottleneck in the process? Where did things go wrong? And what do we got to do to make sure that that doesn't happen again? So you could start again with this fresh perspective of knowing what you did that didn't work before and being able to say, I want to try again. I would love for you to come back, and this is what I can promise you that will not happen again. This is what will happen. If this happens again, this is what we'll do. So it's literally laying out the expectations. This is what you can expect from me. This is what I expect from you. That's how we set boundaries. That's how everybody's on the same page. And it avoids that catastrophe that happened before. So having that agreement with your vendor, having that agreement with your affiliates, so that everyone's on the same page. If this happens, this is what happens next. If this happens, this is what happens next. So literally you're creating policies, procedures, processes, all based on if this, then that. When this happens next. And literally writing it all out so that your expectations are all laid out on paper. And then everybody else gets to see, this is the expectation. If we're going to do business together, this is the expectation. And if you are unable to deliver the product, this is what needs to happen. You need to communicate with me that there's going to be a delay so that I can communicate to the customers that there's going to be a delay, like whatever it looks like. And I think you have a real opportunity here to try it again, but be vulnerable, be apologetic, I'm so sorry this happened. I don't want this to happen again. I want this to be a success, but I need your help. I would love to try this again. If you are interested, let's have a conversation or what, you know what I mean, whatever. But I think you have a real opportunity to really build it in a completely different way and put measures in place to prevent the catastrophe from happening again.
Yes, and I completely agree. The reason why I feel stuck right now, because I have notebooks and notebooks and notebooks, right, of what went wrong and how to fix it. My number one problem is I don't know what to tackle first. Okay. And so I end up not getting nothing done because I'm like, okay, we need better processing systems. We need a better fulfillment system. We need a better customer service system. We need pretty much new everything, but it's like everything cannot be fixed today. Right. You know? Yeah. And then even with having the idea of, should I change the business colors or should I change the logo? Like, just trying to figure out what to do. Am I focusing on the affiliate program or am I focusing on social media or am I focusing on this, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm so scared of doing things without having a foundation that I don't do nothing at all. With the affiliate program, yes, I could just go launch it, but I'm scared.
Yeah.
With the marketing, I can really push the marketing, but what if Shopify put my account on hold again? Like, I have so many fears, and I really wish that I could just get over the fears and just go hard. And, you know, whenever obstacle come, I just figure out how to do it then. But it's just like right now, I constantly hold back because I'm in my own way. Yeah. I'm in my own way.
Mm-hmm. Have you reached out to Shopify at all to find out, like, what will trigger your account being put on hold again?
They said that my brand is high risk. So now it comes to research study, right? Should I create a new LLC or do we have to come up with a new business name? You know, like, because it's not my social security to me as a person that's on hold. I don't know if it's the business name or what it is, but I would have to do test strategies to figure that out. And that's why I really wish I had that right-hand man or that business partner to where we're figuring this out together.
Yeah.
We coming up with these fundraising ideas, coming up with these marketing ideas. We figuring out, okay, well, Shopify is doing this, so what's a way around this? Or what's the strategy to get this in green? Or how can we bring these customers back? Because we have over 100,000 people on our emails and text messages list. But I have yet to send out an email and text message list since I've been back reopened because I'm scared.
Yeah. Right.
And it's like if we send out the email and text message list, right? Some people will order again because some people got their stuff. Or some people got their stuff 10 times, but this one time they didn't get it. But we have to reach out regardless of what, and maybe at the bottom say, hey, if you have any questions or if you have any questions regarding your order, please reach out to us. But we need a strategy for that. I can't just send out an email and text message campaign but do not have a strategy about in the incident where someone did not receive their order and they email us, what are we going to do about this? And that's what I struggle with. I feel like everything is in my head and I just want to get it out, and I just wish somebody could strategize with me, but finding that with somebody is so hard.
Have you thought of hiring a business coach or anything like that to help you like have that person to bounce all that stuff off of?
Yes, I can't tell you how many business coaches I done talked to in the past 2 years. And it's just kind of tricky with today in society because a lot of people call themselves stuff that they're not really qualified for, you know?
I get you.
So I done been on calls where I sell them the situation and I done pay $200 or $300 or $400 and they say you need to talk to a lawyer. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So I just wasted my money for you to take me to talk to a lawyer. Because I'm not saying that talk to a lawyer is not important. But a lawyer costs money, right? How can I generate sales? How can I make the problem right? And then if everything crashes, let's go talk to a lawyer.
Yeah, right.
Or I don't have been on calls where it's like, well, this is what you should do, which is the basics.
It's like sometimes when I talk to people, it's like I'm already 10 steps ahead of them. And then that's when I realize you're not really a business coach. You're just someone who's looking to make an extra stream of income, and you're learning, and the only thing you know is the basics, which I salute people like that, because you're going to keep learning. You know, if you want to be a business coach, I salute you. In the beginning, you won't know. You know, you have to keep going until you learn. But just in the position I'm in, I have to actually talk to people. And another thing that I have learned too, and this might sound so crazy, people who are where you want to be at, they don't want to give you advice neither, believe it or not, because you don't need them repetitively. A lot of people give advice to people who they know will keep coming back because they only give you a little bit of information at a time, right? But it's like the information that you're giving, I already know. I'm trying to figure out how to surpass that, but it's like they're not going to tell me, because now it's like I'm stepping on their toes, you know?
Yeah.
So that's just where I'm at today. I'm stuck.
Yeah. So in your mind, because I believe deep down we have the answers inside of us.
Yes.
Okay. Deep down inside, do you know what your priority is? Do you know, like, deep down inside, what the thing is that you need to do next? Do you know what that is?
What I need to do next?
Mm-hmm.
To be honest,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I do know. And let me explain.
Okay.
I know customer service needs to be perfected. I know fulfillment needs to be perfected, because like you said before, have an agreement with the vendor.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, vendor, if you don't ship out our products in 7 days, what is the consequences? Because if people do not have consequences, they do it any kind of way.
Right.
Or when orders are fulfilled, do we have a system to know what orders got delivered, what orders got stuck in transit, or if someone got the wrong order? Like, just having those processes, policies, and procedures, right? It's just so many things need to be done, and I'm stuck between getting everything perfect or just going with it and fixing it over time. That's why I'm stuck at. But if you was to ask me, I'm not answering the question. What I need to do next, I did answer the question. Is I know what needs to be next. I just don't know what is next. But I have an idea.
Okay. What's the idea? Get it all out.
My ideal is to bring the affiliate program back. I'm just been talking.
Yep.
I want to bring the affiliate program back, and I don't want to think of the what else. I just want to bring it back, and I want to do the original like we was doing before, pay people through PayPal, people make sales, we send our certificates, have it set up the basic way, right? And then over time, you know, when stuff come up, it's just don't let it pile up, tackle it as it comes, right?
Okay.
And then my next ideal is make sure customer service is excellent. I want to have a call center. I always had a dream to be a call center. My first job was a call center. That's what made me fall in love with customers, because I don't know that if our necklaces are a dollar and people are getting a red flag and they can call us, it's like, oh yeah, I'm finna order.
Yeah.
You know? So having that customer service system put together with the call center and stuff, and then that's that. And then the second thing is just on the back end, having a system that works. On the back end, making sure customers are getting their items, making sure we got our funnels put together to follow up and get those reviews, just making sure we're posting on social media. Like, that's where I see the brand. And then once I get that going, like I said, I want to do the fundraising thing where if someone have a team called, what's the team name? Give me a team name.
So we're in Seattle Seahawks, right?
Seattle. So the team got Seattle Seahawks. Like, if they got a logo or if they have, you know, a saying, like, we can create that necklace and they can go out there and fundraise for whatever. So, like, if a cheerleader team is going to New York to be in a parade and they need to raise $5,000, I want them to be able to sell our necklaces where they have their own link, or they can do it the old school way where they can do an order form and submit the order forms. But I want to get our brand out there by giving back to people. We put our brand on there, and then they creating the custom products. So the team can either put their team name, or it can be, you know, custom, whatever, but just putting those pieces together and just running with it and just figuring it out along the way.
Yeah. So is Shopify the one that is tracking all of those things for you, that is basically helping you with text messaging and emails and stuff like that? Or are you having to use another system for that?
We do have Shopify apps. Yeah, it's on Shopify. It's on Shopify, but it's the app on Shopify.
Okay. Okay. So I'm curious if, like, one of your big concerns was getting flagged as high risk. Did they ever tell you why you were flagged as high risk? Was it because of all of the cancellations and all that kind of stuff that happened?
Honestly, I don't know, because and then, like I said, I owe Shopify, I think, like $40,000, because they gave me like $100,000 loan, because we was making so much money. And back then, they were just handing our loan money.
Yeah.
And we owe them money. So I don't honestly, like I said, it will take A/B testing to figure out what is the root of the issue. Because what we can do is, and I have thought about it, is we can either A, open the business with the same LLC, let it run. If Shopify closes it down, then we can do test B, which is create a new LLC and make a name similar. You know, it just has to do A/B testing. And that's why I say I just need their brain to where we can do those A/B tests to see what works.
Yeah. I almost feel like in order to avoid the fear of getting closed down, getting flagged, getting all of the things, it almost feels like, could you just have a clean slate and a fresh start?
Do you know like new name, like new business name and all those things?
Yeah. As doing a rebrand and as a way to kind of start over, and you'll have your new processes, you'll have all of the things, and then you'll be able to, you can still, you know, you can domain point, right? So if somebody comes from, you know, your old domain name, you can point it to the new site. That could be something else. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I completely. Yes, of course, I understand. So actually, I've been down for 2 years. So actually, last year I dreaded on changing the business name to so many different names. But I talked to someone that was like a wise person, and they saying that my problem is not that big to be giving up, and he gave me three business names that failed, and their name is still the same today. And they were failed in millions of dollars, you know? And my situation is not millions. And he was telling me that do what was working.
Yeah.
But I'm stuck because what was working failed, you know? And so when it comes to starting the business name over, like I said, I was home between the two last year, but I finally had decided to keep the name the same, because as he said, you know, Pandora, before they relaunched with the, you heard of Pandora, right?
Yep.
Pandora had lost their CEO. The CEO had just walked out from the company, and the company was in major debt. And I had to get a whole new CEO, and the business just went bad, and it was in like millions of dollars worth of debt. But they ended up coming out with a new product, which was the Pandora bracelet. And the Pandora bracelet had a lot of meaning behind it. Like, and then the fact that the marketing strategy with the Pandora bracelet is people constantly add on charms to the bracelet.
Right. Yeah. So my mom has one.
Yes. And it's like, that one product made their comeback. And the reason why it came back so strong, because the product had meaning. If you were truly, you can get a true bracelet. If your mom give you, you know, the gifts. And it reminds me of my brand with my custom jewelry, because we have to tell the brand, our products need to tell a story.
Why do you need this custom jewelry, right? This could be the perfect gift for your grandma. This can be the perfect gift for a boyfriend. It could be a perfect graduation gift because we can make graduation necklaces. This can be the perfect gift, right? So I was thinking his and her dream collection where memories are created, because we can make any piece of jewelry that can go to any special event. Yeah. Even if you want to give someone a ring, or if you want to get them, we even have cufflinks, like whatever it is custom that you want to give someone, you can give it. And I feel like when it comes to changing the brand name, I do feel like that my problem isn't as big. It's honestly small. The problem is we just have to figure out how to put the marketing together to make it go.
Well, but you also have to remember, number one, Pandora was not on Shopify, and Shopify has all of your control. So when you're using those third-party sites, they have the ability to close your ass down. And so that's my concern. That's my concern, is that if you're going to continue using Shopify, then you may have to change the branding or whatever, because if they shut you down, then you're right back where you were before. And then you're going to be stuck in the fear again, because every time you do whatever, like, when's the last time that you were able to, that somebody placed an order?
Today.
Okay. And they haven't shut you down.
No, it's been like a year now.
Okay. So currently you are still getting orders and everything is okay on that end. They're not flagging you high risk anymore.
No, they're not, because the business is not associated with my name.
Okay. Okay. So you were able to figure out a workaround.
Correct.
Okay. Okay, good. So that was my concern. Like, that was my, like, the reason I was like, oh my gosh, like, if you can't use Shopify and you're able to do all these things, like, what are you going to do? You know what I mean?
So with the workaround, right, it's working, of course. So okay. I know it's not the business name, it's not the domain.
Okay.
So while I'm doing the workaround, right, I have to, on the back end, figure out the A and B testing, because eventually we have to get things going back on the right path.
Yeah.
But right now, today, while everything is working, I'm trying to figure out the marketing strategy so I can do the A/B testing and figure out what is what, you know?
Yeah.
So
I think the idea that you said you wanted to do, I think you got to go there. Okay. I think you got to bring back your affiliate program, because it worked so well before. And I think that's, and you said, this is what I want to do. This is my idea. I think you got to trust your gut here. You've been thinking about it for a while, but you're not trusting yourself.
Yes, I'm not trusting myself.
You're not trusting yourself. And here's the deal. You are your business. You are the only one who can do what you do. You are the business. You don't have help. It's just you right now. And so at some point, you're going to have to bring in more people like you did before. And you'll know again, for this time, you'll know what worked and what didn't work like you did last time. I think you just have to decide, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to do it. And this is how I'm going to prevent catastrophe. And so, right, you just got to create a plan. And I really believe that if you sit down and write out your affiliate program on paper, have it in a Google Doc or something like that, that you can easily share with other people, and then just get it going. Just get it going.
I know what the problem is. The problem is loosely, like you said, I have to make a decision. I don't make decisions. I just make a plan. And all plans got to come with a decision.
Yes.
A plan is not complete until you make the decision to go into it. And I'm so scared. And I'm telling you, I'm so scared, because I felt so devastated, disappointing so many people.
I get it.
And it's like,
I have I lost myself. Like, I used to be so ambitious, and even I don't even go nowhere. I stay at home all day. Like, it's like I'm scared of the world, and it's like I want to get out of that. And it's like the only thing I have to do is just make the decision to say that I'm going to get out of that. I'm going to start my affiliate program, and then just take it as it comes. But and another thing that I want to say is that I deny my business. Right, I think when it started to go real, real good, I get nervous. And something that I have a bad habit of doing is starting multiple other businesses. Because I have like eight businesses, right? And it's bad. It's bad that I have eight businesses because all of them can be good, but none of them is getting 100% because everyone is getting 10% each. And so, but letting the businesses go is what I struggle with because I want to let the business go and strictly focus on his or her dream collection. But it's like, I'm so scared. And I wish I could tell myself, like, hey, let these businesses go or even come back to them later. But right now, his and her dream collection got to be saved. We got the perfect time coming around. We got Black Friday, we got Cyber Monday, we got Christmas. And most importantly, we got Valentine's Day. So what do I need to do to make this happen?
You need to get out of your own damn way. That's what you got to do. And I think instead of looking at it as failure, what if you looked at it as an opportunity for growth? What if you looked at it as a learning opportunity? You didn't fail, you learned. So, can I tell you a story? This is one of my favorite stories.
Yes, I love stories.
Okay, this is about the Dyson vacuum cleaner. Do you know about that company?
Oh, no, tell me.
Do you know how many prototypes he made before it worked the way he wanted it to work?
No, how many?
Over 5,000.
Wow.
5,000 times that it didn't work. 5,000 times it didn't work. And he kept going. It took him 3 years and about $3 million to finally get it to work the way he envisioned it to work. If he did it 5,000 times, can't you try one more time?
Yes.
Right? When you really truly look at it, what did he do? He took, well, it didn't work that way. Let's try it this way. He didn't give up. He kept going. Well, shit, that didn't work. Let's try it this way. 5,000 times.
And you want to know what's crazy? I'm
What?
telling you everything. I pretty much know what I need to do because I'm telling it to you. I just got to do it.
I
Because how I just told you, oh, we need to do A/B testing. Well, do
know.
the
Get out of
A/B testing.
You're telling me exactly what you need to do, but you're so when you really look at it, what is fear?
Fear
Is it? Yeah.
is, to me, fear is being afraid of something that don't exist.
Okay. So I love this acronym that is FEAR, and it's turning fear into a positive. Are you ready? It's going to be your new motto. Face everything and rise.
Face everything and rise.
So if you turn fear, like fear is like your gut telling you, uh-oh, you're getting out of your comfort zone. That's scary over there. But you know what? Nothing good happens inside your comfort zone. You have to get out of your comfort zone in order to make magic happen. And what if, so I will tell you this, I joke that I have like multiple personalities, but what I really have is alter egos. And so I have an alter ego. Her name is Fuck It Felicia. Fuck it, Felicia. If I'm like, all right, fuck it, Felicia, we got to get this. Because I know when I'm getting in my own way. Okay. So fuck it, Felicia comes out and she is take no shit, get shit done. I give zero fucks. She's a tell it how it is. She's got an attitude. and she will tell people where to go. And I use a Snapchat filter for fucking Felicia. She turns my face funny and she makes my voice high pitch. And she's hilarious because she just says whatever the fuck is coming out of her mouth. I don't even know. I'm just like, all right, there's fucking Felicia. So if you were to decide, okay, I'm going to step into this version of who do you need to become in order to get this going again? I need to become confident. I need to feel empowered. I need to feel whatever that is. You need to step. I want you to visualize stepping into her body. If you ever saw the movie Ghost, way back in the day with Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore and Whoopi Goldberg, there's a scene where Patrick Swayze steps into the body of Whoopi Goldberg. Like, you got to envision that, stepping into somebody else's body who is you need to become her. So tell me, what do you need to become in order to get this going? Who do you need to become to feel confident?
I need to become, I'm trying to come on me a little name. Mm-hmm. But I need to become fucking Dream, fucking Takeslin.
Yes. What if you turn fear into fearless?
Yes.
Right? Because the other thing is, there's the what if factor. What if? Okay, so what if it does? So what? So what if it doesn't work? So what? Will you be able to sleep at night trying again and going, well, shit, that didn't work. All right. At least I tried. Or are you going to live with regrets and saying, man, I wish I would have?
No.
Nobody wants to live in regret. And the worst thing.
I'm living in it right now.
Yeah. The worst thing that could happen is what? What is the worst thing that could happen? Like, really think about it. Will you become homeless if it doesn't work?
No.
No. Will you be able to not eat food if it doesn't work?
No.
No? What will happen if it doesn't work?
What's
What?
This is the perfect time to try again and fail because
yes.
I'm in a relationship where he pay all the bills, and then I got my own job. I'm an accountant. I just got my career job. And, I mean, if it failed, it just failed.
Well, I mean, it's not even a fail. I don't believe in failure because of the Dyson vacuum cleaner. I don't believe in failure.
If it needs to be reran with a different strategy, then that just will have to happen. Because now that I'm thinking about it, mm-hmm. I literally can go all in. Mm-hmm. I mean, if Shopify do put the payments on hold, all I think I gotta do is refund everybody and start over.
Okay. Okay. Boom. So now let me ask you, what the fuck are you waiting for?
I'm not waiting on anything. I'm a nutshell. Seriously, because you just made me think that right now is the perfect time to fail. Yes. Back then, when I failed, I only had myself. I was doing everything on my own. I was mm-hmm. still in college. Mm-hmm. I was myself, and I was young.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to just blame everything on the coronavirus because me being young and not having financial literacy and me just not knowing how to be a good leader also led into me being into the situation I'm in. But now I'm older now, you know, I'm more mature now, and mm-hmm. I have help and I have a roof over my head where, mm-hmm. you know, I don't have to worry about is the lights going to still be turned on. Like, I'm in a perfect position to fail. And it's right. not failure. But I'm saying, like, I'm in a perfect position for if things don't go right, I'll be okay to start over.
You are in the perfect position to try again. That's all you got to say.
Yes. So 2-3 years from now, I just got to give you a call again
yes,
to let you
do.
Know where I'm at in life.
Yes, you do. I look forward to that. I look forward to that. Because here's the deal. My daughter is 26. Mm-hmm. I have a son who's 21. You are mm-hmm. right. You are one of my babies. Like,
mm-hmm.
and my daughter also was not taken seriously. She was in a male-dominated career. Everybody, oh, you're just a cute girl. Like, you don't know anything about cars and whatever. And I love watching her prove all of them wrong and get promoted and get promoted and get promoted. So here's the deal. I'm going to also tell you, I have a really, my favorite book on leadership. Okay. Brené Brown, her book is called Dare to Lead. She also has a podcast that is also, you can listen to it on Spotify. But her book is on leadership is so good. It is so good because I wound up taking it a step further and taking a certification to talk more about it because it forces you to deal with your own shit. If you want to be a good leader, you've got to deal with your own shit so that you don't take it with you into your business. You don't take it with you into your leadership. The other person that I really love around leadership, his name is Simon Sinek, S-I-N-E-K. Super amazing. Like TED Talks and all that other kind of stuff you can find all over online around leadership and working as a team, being a leader, all that kind of stuff. So good. So many amazing resources out there for you. And I really think that, and I hope that this helped you find your mojo.
Yes, it did. I really, really appreciate it for sure. One last question, okay?
Okay.
Just your advice on this. As I told you, I have started multiple businesses. I have 7 Instagram pages. And 4 of them is over 50K.
Okay.
So all my social media platforms put together is like 500,000.
Okay.
It's like everything I start, it do good, but I'm never consistent with it because for some reason, I think I like operating in chaos. And when things are going good, I go away from it and start something else. And so my question today is, right, deep, 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 deep down inside, I want to stop everything and just figure out his and her dream collection.
Okay, so do that.
So but then I,
who cares?
I feel like if I stop the other things, I'm thinking that I feel like I'm letting so many people down.
No, you're not. No, you're not. You know why?
Why?
Because they're going to be supportive of you following your dream. They will be supportive of you following your dream. And every time we get shiny object syndrome, because I'm going to tell you, I have the same problem. You know what it is?
What?
Self-sabotage.
Mm.
Her name is Sally. Sally, the self-saboteur. And I have to tell Sally to sit down and shut the fuck up sometimes because she will try to distract me from doing scary things. Oh, no. We're scared. Okay, well, let's go do something. Let's go find something else because this is scary. And she's trying to sabotage everything that I've worked hard for.
Wow. That makes so much sense on why I keep jumping to the next thing because when I get scared.
Yes.
So, like, for his and her dream clash, I know that's what I really want to do. But since I'm scared, I'm trying to find something to fill that void to make me. Wow.
Right. Right. Did you get the goosebumps?
Yes, because it's like I have this dream. I'm so passionate about it. I'm so passionate about building a community. I'm so passionate about the products. But I have to face those fears. The thing is, I would never get over the obstacle if I never run a race.
Right.
Like, if I don't.
Right.
I meant to say hurdle. I would never get over the hurdle if I never run a race.
That's right.
I have to run the race. And I keep trying to avoid. Oh, if my payments get on hold. Well, I won't know if they get on hold until I thrive to see if it get on hold.
That's right.
I won't know if the affiliate program will work or not until I do the affiliate program to see if it gonna work. And
that's
so
right.
That's why I'm so glad I talked to you because you're right. And I'm thinking the whole time, everything I'm doing is working, which it is, but it's working to show me that it can work with his and her dream collection.
That's
and I
right.
have to be okay to know that all these other things I'm doing is a distraction, like you said. And it's almost like someone, it's almost like, no, I'm not going to say that. That might be, I'm not going to say that. But yeah, it's, yeah, but I understand because sometimes distractions can feel good in a moment, you know?
Right.
Like it's working. But what I was going to say, I'm going to say, I don't care. I'm fuck it to Keith Slim. But it's almost like someone who's just got out of a relationship for something that they did wrong. And instead of apologizing, they going to go talk to this person, trying to fill that void and trying to, you know. So that's what I'm doing. It's like the person I'm in love with is his and her dream collection. But instead of me apologizing to their business and fixing what I messed up, I'm going to everyone else.
Oh, girl, that's so good.
It's good. I need to remember.
So good.
I gotta remember that from when I come successful, so I can tell my
story. Yeah, right. So, what would it look like for you to just leave them be? You don't have to close them down. Leave them be. Don't focus on them. Okay? Because then you can use them to say, hey, everybody, come follow me over here. I'm closing this shop. This is what I'm going to be doing now. And letting it go. But you have to, I'm going to tell you, one of the things that works really well for me when I told you about my values, okay? So I have this deck of values cards. And I got this deck of cards from my friend. And I use them to, I'm happy to send you a deck. I have an extra. But I use these values cards and you choose like your top five, your top three. Everything I do, I use my values. I filter the ideas through those values to make sure that I'm in alignment. Because if I'm out of alignment, guess what happens? Chaos, self-sabotage, all the things start going wrong when I'm out of alignment. I start feeling stressed out. I start feeling overwhelmed. I start feeling like, who the fuck cares? Nobody cares about me. Fuck it all. Because I'm out of alignment. So when you're talking about the foundation of your business, the foundation of your business is your values. They have to be the foundation of your business. So community, and then you're going to pick a couple of other words that are really important to you. And you're going to use those to filter through any new shiny object ideas that you get. You're going to have to, and I also have this rule for myself. Maybe this would help you. I'm not allowed to start new things until. So one year, this was right before COVID. I had this idea in December. I should launch a subscription box. Okay. 2019. I want to launch a subscription box. And I told myself, stop, because I will just dive in and I will just start without thinking about it. I will just do it. I told myself, you cannot start another business in 2019. You have to wait until January 2020. That's silliness. Why would you do that to yourself? Your accountant will be really pissed at you. So what I did was I gave myself permission to dream, to find things, to research, to educate myself about all the things I needed to know about subscription boxes. And then I said, January 1, if I'm still excited about this idea, then you can move forward. Okay. And then guess what? I did it for a year and I said, that was really fun, but I'm done. I had to give one person a refund because they had just bought a whole year's worth. And I said, sorry, I'm only going to do one box and then I'm going to send you back the rest of your money. Right. So it was me saying that was really fun, but I don't want to do it anymore. I gave myself permission to change my mind. And you can do the same. Give yourself permission to change your mind. Give yourself permission to wait. Give yourself permission to just, you know what? That's a fun idea. I'm going to write it down and we'll come back to it later. You don't have to jump into every idea that comes to you. Every shiny object is designed to try to distract you because it's fear. You are outside of your comfort zone and your inner self peace is trying to preserve your sanity and keep you safe. So this is what I do. I talk to Sally. I say, Sally, thank you for trying to keep me safe, but I don't need you right now. I thank her for being there, for trying to keep me safe. But I also just let her know that I can't focus when you're trying to sabotage me with your shiny objects. So I would encourage you to name her, give her a name, give yourself Saboteur a name, and talk out loud to her and say, listen, bitch, this is not going to work. The two of us cannot be in the same room right now. And you need to go.
Okay.
But it's the self-awareness. The self-awareness is the key, because then you can be aware when she's showing up. Is you're like, oh, look at that. She's showing up right now because I'm about to do something really big. And she's going to try to distract me and get me off my game because it's scary over here. But remember, you've done this before successfully. You know how to do this. You know what you're doing. You just got to give yourself credit. You're 25 fucking years old. Look what you've already done so far. That's amazing.
No, thank you so much.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. Give yourself credit for what you have accomplished. Stop thinking about everything that didn't work and everything that went wrong and focus on, damn, look what I did at 25 years old.
I agree.
Okay?
Yes.
All right. So before we get off, I would really love for you to tell me, what are you going to do? What's going to be your first step?
So my first step is, I got this.
You do.
Okay. My first step is, come on, Trin. What's the first step?
You got this.
I got so many things down here. The first step is come up with a compensation plan for the affiliate program.
Okay.
But before I launch the affiliate program, I made sure that, so it's three main things that a business needs to have: customer service, fulfillment, and marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Those are three things that make up a business.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, once you complete that, you will need to do other things.
Mm-hmm.
So my first thing is to come up with the compensation plan for the affiliate program, just to get my juices flowing, but I'm not going to launch it. What I'm going to do is make sure that customer service is good. Not good to perfect, but just good to where someone have access to talk to someone on the commitment time that we give. And then the second thing would be, once I do make sure customer service is good, make sure that me and my vendor have an agreement to where we getting these orders shipped out on time. And then once I got those two things in alignment, I'm going to launch the affiliate program. And I'm going to keep up with the orders day by day, week by week. And while the company is growing, if I see an error, go ahead and fix the error at that moment and just keep going.
I love it.
So that's my game plan.
Okay.
And I was able to come up with that because of you.
Well, good. I'm glad you had the answers inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All I did was guide you to it. But that's all you, girl. Okay?
I appreciate you so much.
Well, you are very welcome. You are very, very welcome. So thank you for hanging out with me.
Yes, it was nice. It was so nice. And I really appreciate you for taking your time out your day to allow me to be able to come on your podcast and get me unstuck.
Right? That's all we're trying to do.
Right.
So we're all trying to get unstuck. Yep. All right, everybody. Have a great day. We'll see you next time.
All right. Awesome. Thank you.